From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, master psychic, author, speaker. Barbara Jean Lindsay experienced an NDE in 1989 that awakened her psychic ability. She teaches people on how to access their own innate psychic ability in order to help navigate the earth plane and make correct decisions. A couple of her books include Dying for the Light, Ambassador for the Light, and her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, George.
We're looking forward to this. We're going to have fun for the next couple hours, and you're going to do some readings next hour, I hear, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about doing that.
Super.
My favorite thing to do.
Excellent. Excellent. Tell us a little bit about you before the near-death experience, which I want to get into in a big way.
Okay. Well, I was like your normal average American girl, homecoming queen, had the 2.5 kids, and lived in Sacramento, California. I had an art gallery and real active in the local community. And looking for something, though, a little bit more. It wasn't enough. I had everything, had all the stuff, had all the vacations, the cars, the house. But I just was looking for something more. There had to be something more than that. And I just started exploring psychic phenomena. I met a girl who had this ability, and she gave me a free psychic reading, and it just changed my life, and I started to learn about it. So I was going to school and learning about it when I had the NDE. I wanted to know everything about spiritual everything by 5 o'clock, though. And so I kind of got that when I had the NDE and went into a coma and had a whole different experience there.
Yeah, what happened? 1989. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, it was kind of a wild day when I got up, got the kids ready for school. I was feeling a little bit weird. I went to the psychic school. They said my energy was way off the scale, and they kicked me out of the school.
And they kicked you out?
Yes, they didn't help me. And I thought if anyone could help me, they could, because I figured they had seen everything at that point. But they, at a school, you want to keep it neutral energy. And my energy was out of control, and it was playing with the energies at the school. So they asked me to leave. And so that kind of scared me even more, because I felt like there was something going on. I was a little bit out of time, out of sync, and I wasn't sure what it was. And so that night I went to a women's healing center to see if they could do some hands-on healing to help me, because I just knew that I just needed some extra kind of help, because I had never been in this state before. And so I walked into the women's healing center in the middle of winter, in December 4th. And as I started to walk into the building, a lady came and said, hey, she was told that someone would need an inhaler. and she thought it was me, and so she handed it to me, and I walked into the building, and I couldn't breathe, and I felt like 10,000 knives going into my chest, and the pain was so excruciating that I popped out of my body. And when I popped out of my body slumped to the floor, and I don't have memory of it, but they put me back up in the chair, and I full body channeled a being from Egypt in a male voice that said, I'm here to kill Barbara because she has information that can't be given at this time. And it scared everybody, and then the being actually collapsed my lungs, and I flatlined and was taken to the emergency care. There just happened to be a cardio specialist there that evening who saw me come in and helped save my life. It was pretty wild, and my oxygen levels were just at the brink of death, and I was given last rites, and my family were told that if I did come back, I would never be the same, and they didn't know how bad it would be, and to prepare for the worst. And so while my body is going through all these changes and fighting for its life with Western medicine and prayer from the people that were in the school at the time, I popped out of the body and went to a beautiful, beautiful place where there was absolutely no pain at all. And I had no recollection of my body at all. And I was fully present in this undulating, warm vastness of water and love. And in this loving, beautiful, immaculate waters and all this love there, I had never experienced love that much in my whole life. And I'm kind of a loving, a nurturing, happy kind of person anyway. But in this love, it was beyond my idea of what love was. And I was a mom with three kids, you know, and really love people, love life, positive person. But this was beyond the love that I've never had experienced before, ever. And as I'm in this undulating love, beautiful space, I looked down and I noticed I don't have a body. And when I looked down and saw I didn't have a body, but yet I still existed, it just blew my mind and my consciousness expanded.
So it's been 34 years since that near-death experience. Have you had any medical issues since then like that?
I haven't had any other NDEs at all. I still have asthma, and I thought that wasn't fair because you go through something like that and you come back, and I still have asthma, but it's still controlled. But I haven't had any kind of no lasting permanent damage at all, a total miracle, according to my hospital records.
Were you puzzled by the experience when you came back? Were you curious? What did you do?
What happened is when I came back, I was different. I was different in a lot of ways, mainly that all my psychic abilities turned on, like 100%. So someone would come into the hospital room, right, and I could read them. I could see their pain or their suffering or where they were happy or where their joy was. And that was new to me, and it was out of control. I didn't know how to control it at all. It was just this new part of me, this new expanded aspect of myself that I never knew was there before, and the NDE had turned that on for me.
Did you have any assistance from the other side? Any helpers?
I did. And I did learn that I was never alone when I went through to the other side. I was never alone. I met a guardian there, and he telepathed to me. And all this was new to me, George, okay? I didn't know any of this. I was just minding my own business, having a pretty good life. And this just totally came in from nowhere and changed everything. And so when I was on the other side, there was a large being with about 8 foot tall, with square shoulders, a big white hood, a beautiful sense of presence, a male presence. I never saw his face, but he said I could call him the guardian. And so I did. And so his job, he said, was for me to communicate with some people that I would be introduced to. And so during my time, I was in a coma for about 3 days. And
wow.
During that time, I have full memory of it, like it was yesterday. And they took me to different places, and I had different experiences. And then when it was time for me to come back, I didn't want to come back. I was having such an amazing time, and I was so fully present there. Not like a dream. It's not like a movie. I was 100% present having that experience. And it was really beautiful. And when it was time for me to go, I just didn't want to. And then they reminded me.
Did you think of your kids and stuff like that, though?
That's what they said. That's what brought me back. They said, but Barbara, you have 3 kids. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's right, I do. And I go, yes, I want to go back right now. And so then the next thing, I saw my body laying down in a bed in the hospital with my friend next to it. And I said, who is that? I didn't even recognize my body. But when I looked at it and I did finally recognize it, I just went, oh, my gosh, that's me down there. And I said, oh, she's a little bit pudgy, but not too bad. And I did. And so then I was ready to go back in the body, and that's when the guardian said, before you do, we would like to give you a gift. And so they gave me the gift of white light. And I was kind of upset about it. I threw a little fit like a 10-year-old. And I said, well, after going through everything I went through, that's all you're going to give me is white light. Everybody knows about white light. And they thought that was really funny. And so then I started to go back down into the body. And they go, wait just a moment. And then they kind of pulled me back up again. And the guardian said to me, we would like to make you an ambassador. And I said, okay, I'll be an ambassador. At the time, I owned an art gallery. So I said, well, maybe I'm an ambassador of art. And then I'm thinking, as I'm going down into my body, well, maybe I'm an ambassador of love. Maybe I'm an ambassador of beauty. You know, I'm thinking that. And as I go down into my body, I really go into every aspect of my body with the white light, every little morsel of me, until I'm totally filled up. And then the next thing I remember is sitting up in the hospital room with all the stuff in my mouth, and I pull it out, and I said, I'm starving. I want nachos.
You want nachos?
Yeah. That's what I said. And I was starving, and it was like I had felt like I had just gotten up from a nap instead of in a coma and fighting for my life.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, now, the psychic abilities, when did they really start kicking in?
Right from that moment.
You could tell? And how did you know you had them? What did you start doing?
Well, I just, when people would come in, like my friend, you know, her, Cindy, when she came and talked to me, I knew something was going on with her and she wasn't hiding it. And I said, there's something going on. And she said, you're right. I didn't want to bother you because you're going through so much. And then the nurse would come in and she would fluff up my pillow and she would tell me everything's going to be okay. But I could tell, you know, something's going on with her. And so then within about a couple of days, I'd say about 3 days, my hospital room became the place where everybody came. It became kind of a social hangout. All the interns would come, and even the doctors would come, and they would hang out in my room, and I would give them readings. I would talk to them and help them. And I think at that point, I was still more coming from the other side than here. Do you know what I mean? Because when you go to the other side, it's very high vibration and all the love and the beauty that's there. And then when you bring that back, it's pretty dense here. And I know that going into my body felt really dense because as a being, I felt a very light, a lightness of being.
Would you recommend that everybody get a near-death experience, or would you shy away from that again?
I think I would shy away from it in a way. I'm hoping that all of us, there's been so many that have had them, so that we can tell our stories so you don't have to go through it. The physical part of it was so excruciating, and I had had 3 children, right? 3 natural children being born. And so, but to go through what I went through with the collapsing of my lungs, I wouldn't wish that on anybody ever, you know? But I think for us that have had this experience, I think we have to tell our story as part of our own healing and our own journey, but hopefully it helps other people as well so they can learn from it.
Your kids are in their late 30s, 40s right now. What did they think of this experience?
They're glad it's done. At the time, they just wanted, they were teenagers, you know, and so like my son's 50-something now. But at the time, they just kind of wanted a normal mom. And I tried to be normal. I really did, but I didn't quite fit in because we would go to like the, at that time we would go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee and my son would have a skateboard and the guy at the counter would look at me and he goes, and he would start to cry. And so, and that happened a lot.
Why?
The first year, I think just seeing me, they would just cry. They would feel it. And it was out of control.
Did they know you?
No, not at all.
Wow,
not at all. It just, those, and it happens with other NDEers too. I don't think I'm the only one. But it's where people feel you. You know, they feel your heart, they feel your presence, and they just start telling you stuff. And so then you just, you know, you listen. Sometimes people just need to be listened to, right? And that helps them a lot. And so, So my kids would want a normal mom, but now that they're older and they've been through this whole process with me, they're okay with it. And they, they get who I am, and they're actually proud of who I am. And so, but I think I had to learn to be proud of myself first, right? You go through a traumatic experience, and at the first, I just wanted it to go away, and then I wanted to turn it down, and then I wanted to try and blend. And so I tried all these ways of trying to not have it.
Describe, Barbara, what the other side is like.
Okay. Well, when you're there on this other side, the colors are beautiful. It's like Technicolor, and there's different plants. I saw different plants, different places that I had never seen. They're like, they're very crystal clear, and very, very, there. And, but when you walk through it and into it, it's almost like it's being created for you in that moment. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of what it felt like. And I met different guardians, and I met a council. I was taken across these forests for miles of just forest, seeing the forest without building.
Were you in heaven?
I felt like I was in heaven. I really did. And I was raised Southern Baptist on my mom's side, Jehovah's Witness on my dad's side.
Oh, really? Okay.
And Lutheran, and then married to a Catholic at the time. I had been a Catholic for 13 years. But I was also curious, and my mind was open to different things too. I was exploring, you know, seeking. But when I was on the other side, I can tell you it is so extraordinary and beautiful. And for me, I had the most loving, kind, gentle, beings that I met, and they taught me lessons. The first lesson I was taught was they showed me in a portal, an image and a hologram of our Mother Earth. And at the time, I was an organic gardener, and I thought I had a relationship with the Earth, but I had no idea. And so they brought in the Earth, and I could see that the Earth actually had a heartbeat. And later, I worked with a Native American First Nation chief. And so at that time, it was like the beat of the Native drum. And it was this beat where with the earth and with my heart became one.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.